Whale. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and a bringing of the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, and the views of our callers. Now, we invite your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for a time. Our guest is Dr. Enes Sirosh, and of course he is a Palestinian Arab, and he's also a Christian. And he is a Christian apologist. He has several doctorate degrees. And he, of course, has debated many of the Muslim leaders of the world, which doesn't make him very, very popular. And, of course, he knows the Muslims. He works with the Muslims. He prays for the Muslims because he's written extensively really about what a horrible and a difficult religion this is, because it's not a happy religion. The Muslim religion itself is a very warlike, aggressive, angry religion with an angry God who's very demanding, and there's no such thing as love in this religion. And if you don't do exactly what you're told to, of course, you're going to go to hell. But of course, there is the only way you can be sure of going to paradise, going to heaven, of course, is to die in jihad. And of course, that isn't much of an alternative. Well, anyway, of course, this is his book, Islam Revealed, A Christian Arab's View of Islam. And of course, he's written a number of other books we'll be talking about during this hour. And for our listeners, of course, we've had Dr. Sirosh on during the last hour. So we've covered a lot of issues. But if you have any questions, why, don't hesitate to call us at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, because there is so much. This really is the great conflict we face today. In my estimation, we have actually decided to enter World War III, and when we go to war in the Middle East, and it's only a matter not if, but when, because the decision was made a long time ago. In fact, we have articles recent in the Sunday Herald Tribune pointing out that the decision was made several years ago, even before George Bush became the President of the United States, that there would be a war in the Middle East, and it would not simply involve Iraq, it would involve Syria and Iran. And of course, my fear is that we are going to open up a terrible, terrible conflict that is going to result in real problems here at home, and, of course, a great deal of violence here at home. What do you think about that, Dr. Sirosh? Do you think there's a possibility we could actually see violence in America? The American people are very willing to go to war as long as the violence is in the Middle East, but do you think they would feel the same way if there was a possibility there'd be violence here?
Let me first greet your listeners wherever they are on the highways of our beloved land, and secondly state that I consider the second greatest experience of my life to become a citizen of the great United States of Abundance. USA stands for me, United States of Abundance, and first, of course, coming to know Jesus Christ, the man from my hometown, as Savior and Lord of my life. To answer your question very succinctly, I would say definitely so, and the fact is we are facing a conflict because Islam does not believe that they will rest till the entire world is under the heel of Allah. And who is Allah? He is the moon god. Let me explain that to you, sir. In the ancient days, we are told in the scripture, when God created the earth, he also created the greater light called the sun, the lesser light called the moon. In the Arab world, in the tiny place, about a million square miles, called the Peninsula of Arabia, our people hated the sun because it was such heating, such a searing desert. So they switched the name and called the moon Akbar, which means greater, and the sun Asghar. And in fact, that was the religion that the people worshipped more than any of the 360-plus gods and goddesses in the temple known as Kaaba, which Muhammad destroyed all the idols in the year 600 and about 23, 24, or something like that. And then he claimed only Allah is to be worshipped. Now, mind you, the largest temples were for Allah. Who is Allah? Allahu Akbar. His name means greater, which means the moon god. So the moon god. And if you ask a Muslim why the symbol of the religion is always the same, which is a crescent moon on top of their buildings, they cannot answer that. If you ask a Christian why the cross They will say, of course, because it represents the love of God for the human race, so where tragedy turns into a triumph through the resurrection of Christ, who came to redeem humanity. And if you ask a Jew why the star on top of their synagogues, they will say because God said in his word that they are to be a light to the nations. But I believe with all my heart that we are facing the reality that finally the Muslim world, over a billion strong, now want to take over the world. They tried to do that in 623, succeeded in the ancient world, and right now we are the only people who can stand up to them.
Well, now, of course, we hear about Osama bin Laden, but are there other leaders of this violent movement which is just so intent upon world domination?
Actually, most of them came from Egypt, you know, and one of them, called Sayyid Qutb, who began the whole movement by writing signs along the road, was the beginning of this jihad and was executed by the government of Egypt because of his wicked ideas. But he was the first one. Others followed, and we have them in Syria, we have them in Egypt, and the assassinations have gone on and on and on, and the idea is to destroy the leaders, you see. And when we discovered the attack by, if you remember, Gaddafi, and we hit him, he became very humble sheep, you know. And this is our position, that these people demonstrate a desire to take over the world. We can stop them. We can find them. And I need to explain another point to you. May I?
You certainly may.
This one is, why is it that the media consistently states Islam is peace? Why our president says that? Why most people say that? And I'd like to explain that to you very simply with these words, okay? First, ignorance of true Islam and false information from Muslims, who, as long as they're a minority, they are peaceful, loving, and kind, and so forth. Number two, oil politics. My dear sir, our cheapest oil comes from Muslim countries of the Arab world. So we don't want to offend them, because they may do to us what they did in 1973, when they quadrupled the price of oil once they shut the pipes. You remember that. And so far, the price of oil has not gone very high. And thirdly, our government wisely seeks to keep terrorists at bay by not antagonizing them. Out of the 6 million Muslims in the United States of America, I estimate there are 500,000 terrorists and terrorist sympathizers. And today, I'd like to say to you, I was very pleased when they found out, I think it was, wasn't it a week ago or so, they found one of the sleeping cells.
Right,
we have lots of them, and I think wisely we are kind of waiting to catch them one by one. And on top of all of that, you may not be surprised when I tell you we have 8,000 Muslim detainees in America trying to interrogate them and find what they know and what they don't know.
All right, fine. Well, now, of course, we certainly have, you know, an awful lot of mosques. It was said that in the early 1960s, we had perhaps 20 mosques and maybe 50,000 Muslims. How many, you say, what, about 6,000 Muslims, about 6 million Muslims today?
Yes, and may I explain why? Because a lot of people have the idea that they are gaining ground here. I would say to you, the reason why Islam is growing today, and I think this is very critical in our understanding of Muslims, okay? And may I explain to you that, first of all, population explosion, both in America and elsewhere, because they have more babies than everybody else, and I am heartbroken to report to you, sir, while we abort and kill 1 million babies in America, Muslims are growing around the world by 30 million a year.
We're going to have to interrupt you there. We've got to go to a quick break here, but we'll be right back with our special guest. And this is the time when I certainly want to mention to our listeners that we have several items here which we hope many of you will want to consider getting. I think one of the greatest gifts you could give for Christmas would be the Phonopoly. It's a game. It's actually played like Monopoly. It's actually 5 board games and 2 bonus games, where you can take a child and teach them in about 16 to 20 hours to read phonetically, to spell phonetically, to pronounce words phonetically, and it'll change their whole outlook. And then, of course, we have the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum, where on 22 CDs you can homeschool a child from first grade all the way through graduation from high school for $199.95. The textbooks, the lesson plans, the tests are there. All you have to do is actually get the Saxon textbooks, and you get those from Dr. Robinson at 20% off. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Ask for Phonopoly or the Robinson Home Curriculum. Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with the TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America. It's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, our guest is Dr. Sharash, and of course he is a Palestinian Christian. He's an Arab, comes from an Arab family, and of course he's an American citizen now. He is, of course, a Christian apologist to the Muslim faith and has had an opportunity to debate the Muslim leaders, sometimes even 20,000 people coming to hear his debates there in London, most of the Muslims, and apparently he's done a pretty good job because some of the Muslims have really begun to understand and the fallacy of this religion and the hope that Christianity offers to them and certainly to the whole world. So why don't you pick up your story from there? And then, of course, we certainly want to get out your website again because we have many new listeners here to this hour.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I would like to say that the book Islam Revealed is available on Amazon.com, who order it every week, once or twice a week. And I'm very grateful. It is a bestseller printed for the 8th time, entitled Islam Revealed, A Christian Arab View of Islam, with an introduction by our famous pastor from Memphis, Tennessee, where I am close to there right now as we speak, who is pastor in Memphis, Tennessee, Dr. Adrian Rogers. The second one, The True Furqan, which is the first time in history of Islam in 1400 years, we are challenging the Quran with a Christian Quran, meaning we have produced the book in style, substance, and classical Arabic language of the 7th and 8th century to challenge the Muslims' book, but the message is the gospel. Now, following through, I would say our website is simply islam-in-focus.com. And another one where we have the True Furqan available is called islam-exposed.org. Now, may I follow what we were talking about before the break, sir?
Please do.
Why Islam growth today, population explosion? Number two, petrodollars propagating Islam, building mosques, giving money away for people to come to Islam. Number three, marriages to American women, 8,000 to 10,000 marry every year. They never tell them that we believe in the Bible, but don't tell them that we believe the Bible is corrupted. We believe in the original Bible. They say we believe in Jesus, but they never tell them we don't believe Jesus is the Son of God, Savior of the world either. Number four, non-Muslims change names for employment in Muslim countries because they won't get a job otherwise. Number five, fanatical desire to conquer the world, Islam for the world. And number six, disaffection with prejudiced religion. Muhammad Ali is an example. You remember, became Cassius Clay because they looked down on him because of his color. Unfortunately, that was the case. And now, this is very important. Immigration of Muslims to the West in 1961, with the help of Mr. Ted Kennedy, immigration authorities allowed 100,000 people from non-Christian countries, basically Muslim countries, to come to America. So the growth of Islam in America is not because our American people are uninformed and don't know what's going on, but by the fact that when you multiply 100,000 by 40 years, you end up with a majority of Muslims in America are not born in America. They are immigrants to this country. And finally, the prison inmates, through deception, telling them Muhammad was a black man and he was an African.
Now, I think that this is really one of the most frightening things. I've heard that the figure is something like 175,000 black people a year in our prisons are converting to Islam. Is that an accurate figure? Or is it
less than that? I think that's pretty close, sir. Pretty close. I was talking with, actually received information from our good friend Charles Colson, who has pretty good ministry among them, you know. And he told a hairy story how they sat across the aisle, you know, threatening him and the message of the gospel. And he said only the Holy Spirit kept them from doing that. But it is very tragic that we as Americans don't seem to take advantage of our laws, which do not allow for somebody. I mean, we're a civilized organization. Why should we allow a militant mullah or sheikh to go to our prison system and deceive our black people, basically our black people, you know, and cause such havoc in the prison system and change of people's life and future and hope by playing on their ignorance.
And of course, the other thing isn't a lot of this being financed by the Saudi Arabians. In other words, aren't they putting up the money for the mosques, for getting the mullahs into our prisons and indoctrinating them in this religion of hatred?
Yes, and what they're doing is they are being so deceptive. They say, well, when we live in your country, we live by your laws. You have the freedom of religion and the freedom of propagating your faith inside or outside the prison. When you are in our country, you live by our laws, which does not allow religious freedom at all. Well, that's the truth of the other countries. And I need to remind you also of the fact that we are actually, at this moment in history, believe that Islam is falling despite the seeming success of it. And may I give you the reasons, sir?
Go right ahead.
Number one, the power of prayer and fasting. We have had more Christians in the past 10 years to pray and fast every Friday. And invite you as a Christian, if you're listening to me, to join us for the fall of Islam and the liberation and unshackling of these enslaved people by the religion of Islam. Number two, the power of miracles, visions, dreams, and healings in the name of Jesus. The name of Muhammad has never healed anybody, but Jesus does. Number three, the power of the media, such as this program, television, radio, and cassettes. Internet, and I am happy to say to you, I sent only the audio, Stan, I sent the audio of the debate in Birmingham, England, where we had nearly 12,000 in a five-hour debate on the title, the Quran or the Bible, which is the Word of God, with Ahmed Didat at the time. And within 30 days, I got an answer from the student director who told me, so far, the students who have heard the audio of the debate, 30 have been converted and four Muslim professors. Number four, the power of the attraction of knowledge, prosperity and democracy when compared with poverty, ignorance, and subjugation. Number five, the power of self-sacrifice by pastors, priests, missionaries, evangelists, and ordinary Christians who are willing to die for their faith as they share it with others. Number six, the power of the Word of God, and we are promised His Word will not return without the results. The truth revolution is on us, and the Muslims are finding the truth, not that truth which they have in their book. Finally, the power of the military might of the United States of America. Muslims respect power. Syria, Libya, Sudan, Iraq, and Iran are now eager to be our friends. But we must not be deceived by these terrorist governments who are buying time waiting to bury us with their Chinese and Russian-made air bombs.
And I think it's really so interesting that, of course, a Christian is willing to die for his faith. The Muslim, of course, will die for his faith, but that involves killing other people. I mean, that's the incredible thing about this.
What a difference, isn't it?
It really is. And really, never really thought of that until you mentioned it. But, of course, the one way that a Muslim can be assured of getting to paradise, the only way he can really be assured of getting to paradise, is to die in jihad in battle and killing the infidels. Whereas, of course, when the Christian martyr dies, it's not dying, killing others. All the difference in the world, one religion of love, the other religion based upon violence and hatred.
Which brings me to the question, sir, that your people who are listening are probably wondering about. What's the difference between the crusaders and the jihadists, you know? And the difference is very simple. We don't have a single verse in the New Testament that tells us to kill our enemies but to love them. In the Quran, we have our 114 verses that instruct us to kill our enemies, ambush them, do everything you can. And let me read to you a verse that's going to unnerve you. Are you ready?
Go right ahead.
Here it is. Chapter 5, verse 33 from the Quran. The only reward of those who make war upon Allah and His Messenger, namely Muhammad, and strive after corruption in the land will be that they will be killed or crucified or have their hands and feet on alternate sides cut off or will be expelled out of the land. Such will be their degradation in the world, and in the hereafter theirs will be an awful doom.
Well, you know, of course, the Crusades really, although in the name of Christ, had nothing to do with Christianity. They were a power play, an effort to hopefully to conquer and to accumulate a great deal of wealth, and the name of Christianity, but it wasn't a Christian movement at all, was it?
No. And of course, we must be very frank in telling the truth, and that is, if the Muslims did not extract such exorbitant amounts of money from the pilgrims and harass them, I don't think the Crusade would have been a part of our history. And here is the thing that should be a blessing to you, sir. At the end of the last century, many of the Christians around the world gathered together at the beginning of the Crusades in Europe and marched throughout the year, throughout all the countries that the Crusaders went on in the year 1099. And believe it or not, they stopped in every town, asked forgiveness from the mayor, from the governor, from the people, as Muslims, to forgive them as Christians for what the Christians had done in the name of Christ, which Christ has never taught. Well, have you ever heard of a Muslim country apologizing, even in America, for what other Muslims have done?
No, in fact, there's been very, very few apologies for what happened last September 11th from the Muslim community.
May I make a suggestion,
yes,
sir? Are you ready?
Go right ahead.
Can a devout Muslim be an American patriot and loyal citizen?
All right, that's a good question. Can he be?
Theologically, no, because his allegiance is to Allah, the moon god of Arabia. Scripturally, no, because his allegiance is to the five pillars of Islam and the Quran. Geographically, no, because his allegiance is to Mecca, for he turns toward it in prayer five times a day. Socially, no, because his allegiance to Islam demands that he make no friends of Christians and Jews, according to the Quranic chapter 5, verse 51. Politically, no, because he must submit to the mullah who teaches annihilation of Israel and destruction of America, the great Satan. Number 6, domestically, no, because he is instructed to marry 4 women and beat and scourge his wife when she disobeys him, according to the Quran, chapter 4, verse 34. Religiously, no, because no other religion is accepted by his Allah except Islam, according to Quran, chapter 2, verse 256. Intellectually, no, because he cannot accept the American Constitution since it is established on biblical principles, because he believes the Bible is corrupted. Number 9, philosophically, no, because Islam, Muhammad, and the Quran does not allow freedom of religion and expression. Democracy and Islam cannot coexist. Every Muslim government is dictatorial or autocratic except Turkey. Finally, number 10, spiritually, no, because when we declare one nation under God, the Christian God is a triune God, while the Muslim's God is one entity called Allah, who is never a heavenly father, never called God is love in the 99 excellent names. I conclude, we are urged, Dr. Stan, by the secular media and the pluralists to avoid intolerance and yield to religious pluralism. If we do it, it will destroy us. If
Amen.
Christ is not the only way, the truth, and the life, then the gospel is not really good news to the peoples of the world. We are under order, sir, from our great commander-in-chief, Jesus the Christ, through the Great Commission, to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Our commission is irreversible, irrepressible, irresistible, and incredible. We do it or die.
Amen to that. Well, we're going to have to take a quick break here, and when we get back, we'll invite your calls at 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. But right now, let me just simply mention that we hope that many of you out there in the listening audience will give serious consideration to changing your long-distance carrier, because it will help us do what we do 5 hours a day, trying to reach the American people with the information they're not getting from the media. And anybody who tells you that the word Islam means peace, of course, is lying to you. It means a surrender to Allah. And, of course, there's subservience. If you'd like to join Promise Keepers, it's an excellent long-distance carrier. The rates are comparable. Why, call them at 866-448-5631. That's 866-448-5631. You'll get a real live person that mentioned Radio Liberty when you join. And, of course, we'll really appreciate it if you do. The other thing is, of course, we want to mention to you the Miracle 2 soap products, which do help us. And many of our listeners, you'd be amazed at the stories we get from people with psoriasis and other skin rashes who say the Miracle 2 soap products have helped them. Now, we can't make any claims because they're not scientifically proven. All I can tell you is that many people who use the various soap products, the soap, the moisturizing soap, the gel, the lotion, the neutralizer, have been very happy. If you'd like more information or get an introductory offer, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Our 4 tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. A 2-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of an American president. And then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out. And if you listen to this 4 tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination date. All right, our special guest this afternoon is Archis Rose, who is a Christian apologist to the Muslims, and he's debated Muslims throughout the world, and specifically in London. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. We have Ralph calling. Ralph, where are you calling from?
Yes, doctors, Oklahoma.
Okay, fine. Do you have a question or comment?
Okay, well, really more just a comment today.
Ralph, I'm glad to hear your voice, man. How is Afghanistan?
I don't understand that. You said, how is Afghanistan?
I thought you'd been to Afghanistan. It must be another Ralph, then.
Okay. No. Not this Ralph. Anyway, Ralph, what was your question?
Okay, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, at the university, today they're honoring the groundbreaking of a mosque.
Right.
And that's the first in the nation. And right there close to you, Dr. Stan, probably with an hour's drive, I'm thinking, you know, just a year ago today, I found out that there's a middle school there that... That's part of the curriculum there.
Oh, you mean they have them dress up in the Muslim garb and, of course, read the Quran. And yeah, we're pushing this in our schools, of course. That if you try to do Christianity, push that in the schools, that would be terrible. But, you know, if you're pushing the Muslim religion, of course, it's just it's cultural diversity, and who can be against that?
Well, just about a year ago today, when I found out about that, I called our Marxist congressman and asked him about that, and he said, well, the money was appropriated prior to 9/11, which was just a few days earlier at the time, so therefore, since it's been appropriated, we're going to go ahead and go through with that. And really, I think my biggest fear is right there on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. They're using this to destroy this country.
All right, fine. Let's get to
thank you.
Thank you so much,
doctor.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. And that was a Ralph calling from Oklahoma. And, of course, his feeling is that there is a movement to destroy America, and they're using this Muslim religion that is being introduced into our colleges and into our schools. We can't have Christianity there, of course, but we can have, of course, the Muslim religion being taught as just a normal alternative, just another religion. What's your response to that?
I would like to say, first of all, that the Raf I know has been going to Afghanistan for 15 years and even preached to the Taliban in the caves, praise God. In other words, we are seeing more Muslims come to Christ than any time in history, and I am happy to report to you before I answer your question that in Israel, between 1999 and 2001, we had 5 Israeli Arab Muslims come to Christ and follow through with baptism, which is the real major break. Well, since 9/11, we had 1,000 do that. They are getting sick of Islam, sick of bloodshed, sick of this miserable religion, and finding that in Jesus there is freedom, there is assurance of salvation, and there is hope and peace. As far as the answer to your question, I would say yes, there is an effort in America to soften the minds of the American people and accept Islam as just another religion, like Christianity and like Judaism, because they say we are descendants of Abraham, we believe the religion of Abraham, but the truth is Islam is a demonic religion, and it has been proven time and again, and I will prove it with one example. Are you ready?
Yes, go ahead.
The Word of God says in the first letter of John, chapter 2, verse 22, who is a liar but he who denies the Father and the Son? He is an antichrist. According to that, Muhammad is an antichrist, Islam is an antichrist, Islam is an anti-church, and anti-believers, anti-salvation, anti-Americanism.
All right, well, now, of course, as we look at what's happening as far as this spread of Islam into our prisons, we talked about this during the last hour, but I think it's really such an important issue. And, of course, we're talking about the conversion of 175,000 of our black prisoners to the Muslim religion, into this violent, violent religion, you know, every year.
You know what's the main reason?
Right.
Violence attracts violence, sir.
Well, of course, the problem is that if things begin to break down in America, and we begin having terrorist attacks, and we begin to have perhaps even attacks of weapons of mass destruction, as the this report we have from the government in 1999 laid out, it's a report from the Council on Foreign Relations called the United States Commission on Security in the 21st Century, and they're talking about this total chaos in America. I would wonder what would happen in our prisons if we ever got into that sort of a situation here in the United States.
I really believe, first of all, that people in the prison system are attracted to Islam because it's a male religion. You don't hear of many women turning to Islam. And therefore, it is a man's religion and harps on the man. And the Quran states that Allah made the man more excellent than the woman, and they are to be subjugated to the man. Okay? Secondly, in the prison system, they are given more freedom than the average person because they have to pray five times a day, and they have to eat steaks instead of pork, and they have to do this and that and the other, and it builds an assurance from the others as a gang that you will not be raped in prison, this is frankly speaking, and we will protect you. So it becomes a challenge to the government and to the guards. And I have talked to enough guards to tell me they are scared of these people because Islam basically is a religion of power. It frightens people. It scares people. It terrorizes people. And the Quran states that you are to act that way to terrorize the people around you. What kind of a God is this? What kind of a society is this we're going to be living in?
Well, that's a thing that I think the average American, the average Christian, better wake up to the fact that there are real problems, and I believe God calls us to be involved. Certainly we should pray, certainly, but we also have to be involved and educate others about what's going on. Right now we've got Clara calling. Clara, where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm in Scotts Valley.
Okay, fine.
I teach English as a second language, and so I have students from all around the world, and I have some Muslims, and they were very gentle, good people, very sensitive people, extraordinarily so. So I bought three different copies in translations of the Quran to read it so I could perhaps better understand where they were coming from. Because the woman, by the way, always was totally covered except for her face. There was not an inch of skin anywhere else that was exposed. And, of course, over there, the face would have been covered. And what I discovered in these all these different translations, it says over and over again in the Quran, kill the infidel. Well, of course, the infidel is anyone who doesn't accept Allah.
Yeah, that's you and me.
Right, that's us. And so it was this all of this pap about it being a religion of peace was just a lie.
But you see, Claire, most people have never read the Quran. They just take what Morley Safer and Barbara Walters tell us, and that's why some of the books that like Dr. Saras has written really are so vitally, vitally important.
Yes, and I really appreciate your guest. That's wonderful. Didn't catch because I turned on late. Is he selling a book?
Oh, he's also.
Actually, don't sell anything. We are a non-profit organization. I'm basically an evangelist. And to answer your question directly, in 1985, I was passing through London on my way to Asia and encountered this man who boasted at Royal Albert Hall in a debate with a Christian on the topic the crucifixion, fact or fiction, that he's been debating Christians for 40 years and defeating every one of them. Well, that night, I knelt by my bed. I said, now, Lord, this reminds me of Goliath, who for 40 days strutted and told the Israelites that if you send me a champion, I kill him, you'll be our slaves. If he kills me, we'll be your slave. And nobody would come until little David came. So I said, Lord, here is another David. I volunteered to knock down the giant for you. And miraculously, in 5 months, I was at the same stage, at the same place, where I before debating, is Jesus God? 2.5 years later, we had another debate, which is the Quran or the Bible, which is the Word of God. And in the presence of nearly 12,000 people, a five-hour debate, the man never recovered. He never recovered. And I praise God. We believe you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Our poor Muslim people have been guarded from knowing the whole truth. They have looked only on one side of Jesus as a man. They have never realized he is the redeemer of their souls. He died for their sins as well as for ours.
Now, would you, why don't you get your websites out again,
yes,
so
sir.
People will know it's how to get the books?
Islam-in-focus.com. And we also have an address in California, and it is P.O. Box 293-627, Sacramento, California, 95829, under the title of Project Omega 2001. In other words, Islam will fall in 2001, and it's been falling. And I'm going to give you 7 suggestions for witnessing to Muslims. Are you ready?
I go right ahead.
First of all, use the Word of God. And this, by the way, witness acrostically. Word of God, use it, quote it, and rely on its truth, especially prophecies about Jesus the Christ in the Old Testament and their fulfillment in the New Testament. There are 380 prophecies in the Bible about Jesus, not a single one about Muhammad. Number two, intercessory prayer. The Holy Spirit convicts and converts in response to prayer. One must be in tune with the Holy Spirit to see results. Number three, tell the truth in love. Let it be love in word, deed, and attitude, whether one-on-one, debate, discussion, email, or correspondence. Number four, never give up. Keep sowing the seed. God will bring the harvest. Number five, express respect for the Muslims, Quran, and Muhammad. They respect Jesus and the scriptures, so reciprocate. Number six, spiritual warfare. No success without understanding this aspect, but you are not alone. Finally, seven, in the word witness, seek friendship and hospitality, a very powerful and tested method. After a meal, at your home preferably, show a debate video, give a book or a cassette which can open one's mind. Ask spiritual questions such as, can you be sure of attaining eternal life?
And of course, that is the one thing they fear. And I've talked to Muslims who tell me they go through their whole life really terrified that they're going to end up going to hell. And of course, the only way that they have to avoid that is to die in battle, killing the infidels. Anything else, Claire?
Yes, I'd like to tell you quickly of something. One of my most beautiful students, a Western girl, blue-eyed blonde, married a Muslim, and she had a baby. And this was one of my very dear students, very sensitive, gentle girl. And now the Muslim had a mother in Germany. They went through Germany because she was originally from Germany, and so she saw her folks, and then they went to his mother, who was, I forget now, Iran, Iraq, one of the countries. And so the mother very much wanted to see the grandchild. So she went with her husband to the mother, who took it in her hands, and after she had the baby in her hands, the mother said to her, "You can go now. I never want to see you again." She was ushered away from the home. She never again saw her child or her husband.
And, of course, unfortunately, this is not an uncommon story. Okay, thank
That's
you so much.
That's why I'm telling it, so okay. People will be careful.
Right, thank you so much.
Can I say quickly, sir, that the movie, Not Without My Daughter, explains the whole idea our sister just shared with us, along with other movies, one called Jihad in America and The Death of a Princess.
And, of course, this is not an uncommon story. An awful lot of women very foolishly have married Muslim men and had children by them, and those children have been actually stolen and taken away and, of course, raised in the Muslim faith, never to see their mother again.
And I've known of this many times. May I tell you one more thing, sir?
Certainly you may.
According to Quran, chapter 9, verse 71 to 72, get ready for an unnerving discovery. All Muslims go to hell. Only the God-fearing would be rescued.
All right,
so
fine.
I asked them, have you ever heard of somebody going to hell and getting out?
We're going to just have to take another quick break here, and this is the time when we have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we're really dependent upon those of you out there who really care, who care about our country, who care about the Muslims who are trapped in this system, who care about the future of your children and the freedom which we've enjoyed. If freedom has never, never, never been free. We've been more blessed in this country than any other people in any time of history, and we've come to take freedom for granted. And, of course, that is when it is being lost. And I would tell you that we're moving into World War III. I have no question about that at all. And it's not only going to involve terrible chaos and horror and opening the gates of hell in the Middle East, but right here in America as well, because that's the way it's been planned, that's the way it's been scripted, and of course we've talked to people who read the plan or been told about the plan many, many years ago, and we'll go into that on some of our other programs. Your job is to find out what's going on and to be willing to take a stand, because if I'm right, then of course your children and your grandchildren have no future. We need, of course, to have people take a stand, because it's behind this whole battle, as far as Islam and Christianity, is a spiritual battle, that eternal battle between good and evil that has been here since the beginning of time. And so if you believe there's a problem, we hope many of you will want to join the Radio Liberty family. You can get our material. You can go to our website at radioliberty.com. But more than that, of course, many of you, we hope, will want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our four best tapes of the month. You'll get our monthly newsletter. But more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do. And that is 5 hours every day and two programs on Saturday. One of them goes to 32 or 33 stations. We reach out across America with a story you're not going to hear elsewhere. So again, remember our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and certainly our website, radioliberty.com. Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City? Well, a very important video is the cover-up in Oklahoma City. It really consists of film clips that were actually taken from video footage shot during the first 2 or 3 days after the bombing. And you'll actually hear the commentators in Oklahoma City talking about the second bomb, the third bomb that had been disarmed. Now, if they were actually disarming bombs there, why didn't we hear that throughout the rest of the country? You'll actually hear an interview with one of the gentlemen who was in the Murrah building at the time that the bomb went off, and he had time then to jump underneath his desk before the glass blew in from outside. Obviously, there were two bombs, one inside, one outside. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest is Dr. Sharosh, and he's a Christian apologist. He's a Christian Arab, born and raised in Nazareth in the Holy Land, and of course traveled into Jordan and then eventually came to America, has several doctorate degrees, and of course he is trying to reach the Muslims for our Lord. And, of course, there is a growing Christian movement within the Muslim religion, but how many of you would be willing to convert to Christianity if you knew it could cost you your life? You're going to have to leave your home. You're going to have to leave everything, because if you live in a Muslim country today and you convert to Christianity, why, of course, you can be killed and nobody's going to be criticized for it, and because, of course, the worst thing a Muslim can do would be to become a Christian. Now, we don't object to people if they're foolish enough to want to embrace the Muslim religion here. That's fine. We're in a free country. You can do that. But, you see, they really want America to become a Muslim country. You don't understand that. They are intent upon winning. That's why, of course, they want us to abort our children while they have their large families. That's why they want to keep bringing their people here. They have their Muslim political organizations, their Muslim Arabs, their Muslim Republicans, their Muslim Democrats. The real purpose is to infiltrate our society and take it over from within. Would that be a fair statement?
Precisely, sir. And may I say once again, our website is islam-in-focus.com. Our book, Islam Revealed and the Truthful Quran, available on amazon.com. And now, if you are ready, I will share with you an important matter, sir.
Please go right ahead.
And Muslims do to demonstrate their loyalty to America. We are not exaggerating when we declare that Islamic organizations in America, just like you said, have failed miserably in convincing the American public of the outrage that they claim most Muslim Americans felt over the horrors of 9/11. No unified statement ever came condemning the terror to this date. Individuals, yes, but no national voice. So here are my suggestions, 7 of them. Number 1, the numerous Muslim organizations along with the Muslim intellectuals should sign a statement condemning terrorism in the harshest terms and proclaim it through the media for at least 30 days. Number 2, Muslims should establish a task force which can provide the federal government information and assistance which will help prevent further attacks. Number 3, Muslims should raise funds to help the sufferers of 9/11 as well as to assist the government in the war against terrorism. They average $50,000 a year per person. They can afford to do that. Next, Muslims should join the armed forces to fight in the war on terrorism, thus giving visible evidence they are loyal citizens and not bystanders. Number 5, Muslims should organize a massive demonstration to march to Ground Zero in New York City to publicly repudiate Islamic terrorism. Each marcher could deposit a postcard or a flower at the site of the murders. A recognized Muslim leader could read a poem dedicated to the memories of the nearly 3,000 victims. Then everyone should sing America the Beautiful and the national anthem. Number 6, Muslim organizations should send a letter of condolence and apologies to the families of each victim. They should explain clearly that terrorists do not speak for them, and the 100 Quranic verses which teach killing are not applicable to the 21st century as they were to the 7th, 8th century. Finally, if they are truly sincere Muslims listening to me or not listening to me, Muslim organizations and mosques may print and distribute bumper stickers to their people which declare Muslims for America and against Islamic terrorism.
Of course, I don't really know the attitude of the majority of the Muslims here in the United States, but I do know that at least in places like Pakistan and the Middle Eastern countries, Osama bin Laden is a great hero,
yep.
And Muhammad Atta is a great hero. They feel that this was the most wonderful thing that could possibly have happened. And, of course, I heard on 60 Minutes, and I think it was the 1st of September, when Maury Safer was interviewing four Muslim girls born and raised in America, attending a Muslim high school, and they were talking about how wonderful the suicide bombing was that was going on in Israel. And as one of the girls said to on 60 Minutes, if I was to go into a Navy base and blow myself up, I would go immediately to paradise. And she almost seemed very happy saying that until somebody pointed out to her that people might think she was going to be killing Americans. So she called CBS and said, I was really talking about going into Israeli a naval base. Well, of course, you have to understand that she wasn't talking about an Israeli naval base. She was talking about an American naval base, because their loyalty is not to America, and they have to have the loyalty to America, or they shouldn't be here.
That's right. I would like to also say, and this is a bomb I'm going to drop in your lap, we should ban the Quran from public schools, from libraries, limit them only to the mosques, unless they will discard the 100 verses that teach killing, because the Quran is a terrorist textbook.
It just really is. Of course, we can have the Quran in our public schools, but don't you dare, of course, have a Bible there. We can talk about Muhammad in the public schools, but don't you dare talk about the God of the Bible. We could, of course, have the children there put on their Islamic garb as they've been required to. We can have our colleges require reading the Quran. Of course, they're told, of course, this is just for Islamic diversification or for religious diversification, but don't you dare have anything as far as Christianity. And there is an anti-Christian bias within this country, and the trouble is that Christians don't even recognize it.
Unfortunately, that is true, sir. But I am here to say to you, sir, that we are guaranteed victory. Number one, Jesus said, not even the gates of hell shall succeed against the church. Number two, we're told in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11, that one day every knee shall bow in heaven, on earth, under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that, including Muhammad, Mary, Moses, Mao Zedong, Mahatma Gandhi, and anybody else on the planet, living or dead, they will bow down and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord.
No question that eventually this is going to happen. I just feel we're in for some difficult times, and I think that the Christians of America are not prepared for difficult times. I fear many of them are going to begin to seriously question their faith, just as the people of Germany did after the Second World War, when they found that they'd been lied to. Well, let's go to Gary calling. Hi, Gary. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good. I was wondering, did you hear about the little boy in the Bronx who looked out the window and said those towers won't be there tomorrow on September the 10th?
I think he said it actually, no, he said it'll be within the next week. And yes, we've checked that story out, and it is true. This boy had been told by his father from Pakistan, and of course the father left the country shortly thereafter. It is a true story, and it's covered very well, I believe, in Dr. Dennis Cuddy's book, 911. September 11th, the prior knowledge.
Well, here's my point. The point is that it was common knowledge among the Muslim community in America that this was going to happen.
Right.
Well, I don't think they're going to change their minds. I think they were happy it happened.
Well, some of them were, and some of them realized the implications of this. But certainly the trouble is it was common knowledge among the Muslims. It was common knowledge among many of our officials. But nothing was done to protect the lives
of
people.
Why didn't somebody say something or do something?
Okay, God bless you. Thanks
so
much, Gary.
Bye.
And if anybody would like to get that book, it's called September 11th, Prior Knowledge, by Dr. Dennis Cuddy. Anyway,
Sam, before you run away,
right.
Attorney Shiro speaking, I'd like to mention to you the reason why they hate America and Israel.
All right, why do they hate America?
Israel and America believe in the true living God, and we are the only one who contradicts and proves their book is a plagiarized Bible filled with errors and lies. And we are in their way to take over the world.
Well, of course,
something that needs to be reminded by you, sir.
And, of course, the vice president says the reason they hate us is because of our liberty. Well, our liberty only comes because of our Christian belief, because
precisely.
Of where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is a liberty. And you take the spirit of the war, Lord, away, there is no liberty.
Yes. And, of course, you need to remember they hate us because of our success, our advanced society, our education, our freedom, our religion, and so forth and so on. Yes.
All right, we've just got about 2 minutes more before we can let you go. What are your parting thoughts that you'd like to leave with our listeners this afternoon?
My parting thoughts is we no longer need to be soft and nice to our Muslim friends. We need to tell them they're going to hell without Jesus, and Jesus came to save them, and he's the only one who guarantees them eternal life without having to blow themselves up or kill somebody else.
And
secondly,
I think
we love Muslims, and we need to start praying harder for them to come to know the Lord. They're coming to know the Lord through visions and dreams, through what you are doing, sir, through the books, tapes, debates, and so on, and I praise God. Finally, we are on the winning side because we are on Jesus' side. May we as Americans declare not only God bless America, but God bless America with revival. That's what we need now.
Amen to that. In fact, the only hope I see for survival of this country would be a revival. And I think that point is so well made. The Muslim lives in constant fear of going to hell. And the only way he can, of course, avoid that is to be killed in jihad, killed in battle.
Right. And may I say that I appreciate the privilege of being with you, sir. Look forward to another opportunity. I'm about to go preach at 7 o'clock in the sovereign state of Arkansas, in a town not far from Memphis, Tennessee. And I appreciate the privilege of living in the greatest country on the planet. If you don't like it, you can go back on your camel to where you came from.
God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us, Dr. Shiroz. Our guest, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. And that's our guest has been Dr. Enos Shiroz. And, of course, he's a Christian apologist. He's poor and really ambassador, a missionary to the Muslim world. And, of course, we've got many of the things he's produced. He has the tapes of this five-hour debate he had with this Muslim leader. And believe me, when you confront them with the lies upon which their religion is based, of course, they will tend to fade away. In fact, this Muslim leader who, of course, bragged that he had never been defeated before, actually sort of disappeared from London society there for many, many months afterwards. We have righteousness on our side. We just have to learn how to present it. And Dr. Shiroz has a wonderful, wonderful ministry. And again, if you'd like to get more of their information, it's islam-in-focus.com. And, of course, his book, Islam Revealed, A Christian Arab's View of Islam. You need to have the information at your fingertips, and you need to help us get it out across America. Well, this is the time when we have to remind you that you need to be praying for America, because we're in for some difficult times. As I've said earlier in the program, we're heading into World War III. I have no question about this at all. World War III is coming, and of course with that will come not only terrible, terrible violence in the Middle East, but right here as home as well, because that's what they're planning on. If you haven't read the report of the United States Commission on Security in the 21st Century, we have it, and you'll want to get the New World Coming report. It's available by calling us at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like to get that report that was put out by the Joint Commission just last week, we have that. It's only $5. You'll be amazed. It's about 30 pages, and the things that they knew ahead of time, the fact that they knew they were going to use airplanes to attack our buildings, and the fact that you were lied to by your leaders. That's the Joint Commission report. It's only $5. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and then pray for America, and pray for revival, and certainly pray for our leaders, and please remember to pray for our ministry, Radio Liberty, who are on the front lines of this battle. With your help, why we can stay here and continue educating people until tomorrow. May the Lord be with you.